Okay. Well, it's in the 40s. It's the middle of March, 2013. Still dark out. Now that daylight savings time, been for about a week or so. Shane is home with us. Her physical for the Peace Corps pulled together. It's quite exciting, I think. Well, regardless, there was interesting happenings yesterday. I was sitting there thinking yesterday during the prelims to nap time. I guess I'm kind of doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing. It didn't really work out, so I just kind of went and took my nap. When I woke up, let me go back a little further. Saturday, we went to the hotel for the temple and had a bit of a date night. And I ruined it for myself. It was quite enjoyable. But I'm always ruining these things for myself. I swear, Lisa's such a trooper. She enjoyed it anyway. Struggling with all kinds of feelings. And mostly overthinking things. Normal for me. So it was quite good. Several things. I pretty much wrote a talk on Friday, and I'd been thinking about it beforehand, what I was going to do it on. Changed my mind a couple of times, what always does. Settled on forgiveness, and that was. I think it seemed to go well. Had a nice spiritual experience at the temple. Not anything in particular, except that I was able to feel a spirit, and that always makes me feel better. Sometimes I think I'm a little distant. I think Shana gets that from me. That we don't like being spiritual killers. I think I've gotten better over the years. But I still have my moments. So Saturday night was coming home was definitely a spiritual struggle. But carried through. Sunday went okay. And so I came to the point, it was just before time for end up being on family council. And uh I just got this little thing to go and take a look at how things are going in Shetland. I've been pondering over the last few hours that yeah, there's still stuff to be done there. And sure enough, I opened the thing up. That was in the last 3 hours of when I opened it up. The top news story was that all the islands, Shetland, Orkney, and the Western Isles, old Outer Hebrides, they met together in the stance of gaining a little more autonomy. One could immediately say, oh, well, look, you're finally coming my way. And you're going, I don't think it's a my way thing. Simply, a recognition of what I think is needing to happen. So my thoughts have been rekindled toward the whole concept of family ascendancy. Listening to Cleon Skaus and I listened to his Cleansing of America book, and these last few long trips I've been doing, the temple trips this week, going and picking up Shayna and stuff like that. We're going and helping Shayna the week before last. I borrowed some books on tape from Mom, and it was a 5,000-year leap. Which actually, both books are kind of cover a lot of the same territory, or at least this initial part of it that I've gotten through is going through this whole thing, the Anglo-Saxon governmental style, and the Israelite, while they were going through the wilderness style, which also reflects the principles that were put into place for the Camp of Zion, how the migration from Illinois to Utah was organized, and trying to put those principles in a little bit of a encapsulated form of the circumstances in Shetland. So I don't think these disparate places should be all one. Yeah, I found it interesting because they did bring up the whole concept of maybe it should be a crown dependency. Which is where I had kind of gone. And I think I had expressed it on Shetlink. Sadly, you know, it's Tavish Scott. He's the MST that has kind of become the front man on this. And I don't know if I had really been too kindly to Tavish for, well, I felt like it was his take early on. If I ever chance to run into him, or if we ever correspond on some level, I would hope that I could. Express some regret. I really do feel that the ultimate success of initiatives like these, and my thought would be, the three different places would be each be their own crowd dependency, not as a group. Going into it together, the three places wanting to push toward this. I've always been quite, you know, I don't have really a sense for Stornoway. And the Western Isles. Orkney, I feel, is just right off the coast of Scotland, and really, I think ultimately, probably wouldn't choose to become a Crown Dependency. Would rather go the way of being a part of British Scotland. But that Shetland is probably, with some guidance, or with a plan, as if some outside groups are coming to with guidance, and I wouldn't presume to do such a thing. Nor do I think anybody else should, although plenty of people would offer for their own personal reasons. But that, I think Shetland has would ultimately have the most drive and interest in doing such. And what I've always figured was that this was a great opportunity. This was an opportunity to actually do something better. If I take as a pattern the American Revolution, I would be happy. I would be happy to think that that was... I should have worn my gloves. It's a little chillier than I thought. That the American experiment, the American Revolution, many of the concepts that came from that were good. That we could build on those concepts. maybe codify a little better. The way this would go. Cleon Skousen makes it abundantly clear that, and the Founding Fathers, it's really interesting. Skousen quotes quite liberally from many of the Founding Fathers, and they were practically prophetic in predicting what would happen to the United States if it didn't strive diligently to be a moral nation. And our biggest downfall is in morality. Our concepts of right and wrong as a nation are so screwed up, going five different directions at once. Nobody takes the high ground. Everybody takes the low ground. Takes the low road. And it is the constant struggle between factions. For gaining a foothold on something, and they will use any tactic in order to do so. Gun control, and the fact that if you were to listen to the mainstream media, the people were just flocking in droves to get rid of their guns in favor of a safer world. You go, the safety of the world comes from encouraging and practically demanding better people. Got to stand, you've got to be a better person. Political ideology, your past, all the laudable and good things that they can contribute, cannot make up for basic, virtuous living by everybody. Not just the old, the young too. And for so long we've strayed so far and over generations here in America. We are. It's disgusting to see, and I would blame it on an American ethic, but frankly, it's seen around the world. In Ohio, there. I don't know how it got to national prominence. I'm not hitting these things with national prominence anymore, because this happens every day in every town in the United States, probably in many places in the world. Seems the more cosmopolitan that they are, the more troublesome it is. Partying and a girl got so drunk that she lost consciousness, it's said. I don't know if that's true or not. Two young footballers. Of course, that means American football, I would imagine. Raped her, by that definition. Of course, you have to come back to all this stuff and say that everybody's spinning the circumstance the way it profits them. The fervor went both ways. One, that the girl was completely innocent and she didn't know what she was doing, and you go, well, she got herself all tanked up on alcohol. By her own story, she passed out and said, and I don't know if that's even true. Two young men either took advantage of the situation or were simply doing what, quote, comes naturally, unquote. And I must say that I'm a little dubious of women's rights in these cases, as it is with everybody who tends to play the minority card. Minorities can do no wrong if they're out shooting up things, if they're out doing despicable things. It's always blamed upon social condition and that we give them a pass on this, and that's irresponsible and bad. Virtue is not something that should be exclusive to what is considered to be the dominant culture. We all need to be virtuous. We all need to accept it of each other. Lisa was crying the whole part that there were, that these people were going to parties in the first place, which I agree with. Party where alcohol flows like water. Virtuous kids wouldn't be in such places. They would find themselves in better places. This whole, it's like when I watched the Twilight movies. I never read the books. I'm glad I didn't. I've only watched a little bit of the movies. I seem to recall that on the first one, it was like this girl could have so easily avoided this whole circumstance, all these horrible things that happened to her. Stay away from vampires. It was all about being starry-eyed and being infatuated and not using the noggin at all. Adventure, excitement, really wild things. And I'm a guy that doesn't mind adventure. Adventure's a good thing. But you don't get adventurous with things that really matter. You don't get adventurous with things that are have a reasonable chance of killing you. You don't hook yourself up with people who make weird choices. I'm sorry, you know. Everybody can say, oh, but they're so moral. They're such nice vampires. And you go, look at the wonderful life she could have had if she would have just said, oh, he's cute, and then gone on with her life. There's a lot of cute guys. But she was searching for depth. And you go, oh, gracious. There are other deep guys. There are other deep people. You didn't have to settle for a guy who was essentially screwed up. But, you know, she didn't make her choices, so when you come back later on and say, oh, well, she should have done this and she should have done that, and you go, she shouldn't have even been there in the first place. And probably the worst thing was, is that this girl in Ohio is probably going to go on the women's issues lecture circuit, if there is such a thing, talking about the evils of rape and stuff like that. And she will probably be well compensated for her role in making huge mistakes. Where, like I said, if those boys are going to go to jail for something, she needs to as well. She presented herself with a sign on her head saying, "Rape me." I consider that entrapment. And I think she should have some suffering to do as well. And that society should have been the first one to come out, boys. That judge needed to come out and say, "The state's bringing you up on charges too for entrapping young men." I consider what you've done to practically be a form of prostitution, that you lured people into it. And you need to do time as well. That society doesn't need to give you a pass. And smother you with hugs and kisses and give you the gold-plated victim plate, that you get to run around and you're going to end up profiting off of. But a place of freedom demands people of virtue. Virtue from everybody. Everybody should have been punished in that situation. So, quite grateful. Brings up the whole thing about St. Augie here in Tucumcari, patron saint of underage inebriation and stupidity, who was being worshipped on a regular basis. At the shrine of St. Augie, which was a chain link fence close to where his body was discovered. I am quite heartened by the fact that somebody finally said, "Enough. We're going to take all this stuff down. If people keep putting stuff up there, we're going to take it down. We do not need to continue to have some shrine to I don't think he was even 12 yet, to an 11-year-old kid who everybody made a victim of. At 11 years old, you know a few things. If something bad happens, people need to be punished. The older guy he was with that nearly died, I don't remember anything even being done to him. Except that he nearly died. The other kid did. I think it was even very carefully done so that he was never brought up, so that nobody would know for sure who that kid was. And you go, he should have gotten into trouble for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. You may say, "Oh, well, he's a minor too." And you go, was as much of a minor as the other one. We're supposed to take care of each other. And he didn't. He didn't. The people who the party was at, they were castigated. I hope beyond hope. And I have to say that my trust in the justice system flags at times. I hope that there was real significant evidence that those people were negligent, because I know that our system craves for somebody to blame or something. They want someone to be held responsible, and sadly I think it's rarely those who should be held responsible. But those who lived 6 years, and I'm sure that was a plea bargain down from what they were being threatened with. The current judicial system, at least in the United States, plays this whole game of somebody's got to go to jail for this. The whole national treasure thing. And that had nothing to do with justice. That had to do with placating things. And I find it disgusting. And unbecoming a country, much less one that should be respected. It's unbecoming a country. I think the United States of America has essentially lost legitimacy over things like this. Over cultural cultural attitudes that I don't think it just appeases. I think it encourages. It encourages. So we think of Shetland, and we say, well, maybe a smaller place which can assert a great deal of autonomy. I think that is that such places have these possibilities, that the devolution of power has a great deal to do with finding these pockets of righteousness. I wrote an essay a long time ago about pockets of righteousness, and I seem to recall that, although I didn't say so, and I don't think in reading the essay one could surmise that the thought in my mind was that Shetland could be one of these pockets of righteousness. That these people, you know, that as a small group, these things can be done. We've seen that as we swell things up into these big mega states with millions and millions and millions of people, that if the centralized power is the one that holds the sway in that land, that you're going to see these kinds of sick, twisted, demented cultures bubbling up. the gun control issue. They want it to be about the guns, and they want people to always, always remember that it's always about the guns. If we can get rid of the guns, somehow we can get rid of these kinds of atrocities. And I'll tell you one thing that I think is more likely out of this, and I will give those who are so adamant about the way, about their side of it, a break by saying that they probably haven't considered this very well. This is a question of sovereignty. That these people are saying that you need to hand over sovereignty over your very life to a government, to an authority. Logic dictates that you need to have whatever you can bear in your possession to protect your family. I don't give a care much about property and things like that. But your family, your home. You say, well, you're they can have as much ammunition, weapons sufficient, so that they can have, that they can protect themselves against any invader. In the United States, we take that one thing, because they have, because their government loves them. I think I'd be wrong in saying that a sizable proportion of homicides within private spaces, private residences, happen due to a police incursion, and that a reasonable proportion of them are police officers killing people in their own home. And if this violates on so many levels, the whole concept of seriously ruin shows like NCIS or all those procedural police shows. It had to reflect that kind of thing. These would be very boring shows. But that may have to be what's required. A strong government can use its strength to break those persons that have no reason to fight so readily. Could be construed to be reasonable. The fact that all of them are happening all at the same time, and that law enforcement can pick and choose the most favorable route. People cannot assert their rights because there's so many rules qualifying those rights. No mere human being has the capability of asserting their right because this guy can quote statute after statute after statute justifying exactly what they're doing. Like you're unhappy with how they've broken down your door, they can shoot you. They can plead that they felt threatened. And as the guy with the gun and the badge, there is no threat in them. You know, and saying I have Fourth Amendment rights is a threat to them. You're likely to find a bullet in your head. Saying that this is standard. What I am saying is, you don't know who that guy is busting into your house. You don't know if he's a guy that respects the Constitution. You can make a basic definition to break down that door that he's already a bit compromised. You don't know if he. So what happens? The Fourth Amendment, the Bill of Rights, doesn't. It might as well not be there. For the fact that nobody, that there is essentially no laws to stop, and that there is 1,001 justifications for what gets done. And just as much as that girl in Ohio that said she passed out and that got to nail her fellow partier in charge of rape, the police officer can do the same thing. Can twist the situation. He's got a badge, therefore he's more trusted. They're considered part of the system and therefore will always have always have preference over you. And how would one solve this in a new government, in a whole new government? To say, we're going to take this, we're going to take that, this is the way it's going to be. My philosophy would be that you had to be strong about it. That a house is a man's castle and a woman's castle. And then no one can assail it. No one. If you can escape to your house, and you're inside of your house, you can't be touched. You murdered. Of course, anytime you leave that house, go out in the public, you can get snatched. You can get thank goodness there's kind of an internet way of doing things. And you go, hey, if this person is effectively under what seems like almost a form of house arrest, it seems like they can't do very many nefarious things to hurt other people. It seems like that won't work. They're charged with nothing. You can't do anything with them. And the great part is I don't think any police force, not even a police state, can really do an effective job of monitoring that place 24 hours a day, even with cameras and stuff. Of course, I don't know, technology keeps coming up. Surveillance state is getting quite crafty and getting quite powerful. But at the very least, you should be able to have that. Why would that encourage everybody to have their own home? To have it bought and paid for as a refuge from the storm. Anyway, so it's a kind of there are no rules that would keep evil from happening. No rules can stop. If anybody thinks an extra rule will somehow curtail evil, they're foolish. They're crazy. the best way to curtail evil is to breed it out of the race. In Mormon parlance, it is to establish Zion. As it is, people of one heart, one mind. It won't do things like that. Where if one person feels wrong, we come together and help. That one person does not take advantage of another. For whatever reason, that advantage will help. Yesterday, the concept of offense. People who are easily offended, I don't think much of them at all. It is a very large rationalization for. How do you say it? We're doing all kinds of things. It could be construed as that girl in Ohio. I don't know the exact circumstances. But she could have taken that high road and said, I was at a place where I shouldn't have been. I had rendered myself incapable of controlling my actions. I certainly can't control anybody else's. And if I insist on making these guys culpable for what happened, I need to be culpable as well. I need to suffer out of this. That I don't get gold stars and accolades and money to be interviewed and perhaps even a book deal. That those political factions that profit off of women's issues will come and just bathe you in rewards. That everyone needs to be culpable. That everybody needs to come together. And we can make a decision how we're going to treat this. Either I think everyone should be punished, or everybody will say, we don't want to punish anybody over this. And that's what ultimately needs to come of this. If somebody dies, that may have to be, if violence is performed, that may have to be punished no matter what. But that we don't always run screaming to victimhood. Usually in these cases, and I think it's happening more and more, everybody immediately starts publishing how much of a victim of the circumstance they were. Everybody wants to go for that victim, and I'll put in heavy quotes here, high ground, unquote. The point, though, when somebody says they were a victim of something, I'm skeptical. I am always skeptical and say I doubt very seriously that you were an authentic victim. I always suspect that you are complicit. And that you coming out and saying anything about this as if you were a person that was wrong is fallacy, is just disingenuous. That should be the term of the age, is disingenuous. Because I wonder every day about anybody I pass by, whether they are genuinely good people, or if they just want to appear good, while they're causing a lot of pain and torture for other people. Form a new government where things would go better. I can only see people having to get to the point to where traveling incident wagon where people are, where it's constantly always said, our first hope here is to preach virtue to you. Not personal destruction. Not trying to destroy each other. And I'm not going to say on some paragraph. I'm just as much a product of this society as anybody else is. But I think I'm getting a little better. And I see that joy and happiness are most likely to come when we all strive to be simply more virtuous. Accepting what happens, not lashing out, but being kind to each other. That's really it. We can't love one another, let's at least be kind. So, that's what I'm going to say, and we'll see what happens in the whole kind of wrap around. Oh, that's right, you're not going anywhere, huh? Honey, you don't need to be concerned. Competent professionals are gonna take